Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hazret Mevlana Seyyid Bedri Alim Sahib Rahmetullah Aleyh was a great muhaddis of his time. His kitabs, I assume, are in every madrasa. One is Faizul Bari, the Sharah of Bukhari Sharif, the notes of Hazrat Mulana Anwar Shah Kashmir Rahmatullah Alayhi, that was his respected ustad. He was responsible of recording the notes and then after publishing his kitab, Faizul Bari. Then his other kitab that is quite popular as well is Tarjumanu Sunnah. He had given up residence in India initially to move up to Pakistan. Around the early 60s or late 50s, he had taken residence in Medina Munawwara. His poetry is quite popular. One is Dard-e-Nama. I think we have got a copy of that kitab as well in the library. So in that he speaks about Medina Munawwara and he encourages people to live in Medina Munawwara. And there is a line which goes, Yahan aakar ke rehna ho, to dar dar ke rehna. In the event you have to leave your homes and live in Medina Munawwara, then you should be living in a state of fear. Don't live carefree and don't live as you would like. Yeah. So live in a state of fear that this was the town of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba-i-Kiram, millions of Awliya-i-Kiram all threaded this land. So when I have to live here, then in what state should I live? How must I live here? Many were the people that shown respect to Medina Munawwara, and just on account of the respect, Allah Ta'ala had blessed them. And many were those that had shown disregard to Medina Munawwara, and on account of that disregard, they were thrown out of Medina Munawwara. One person had taken some yogurt, some curd, at Medina Munawwara, and he wasn't very comfortable with the yogurt. So he says that the yogurt in our land is far better than the yogurt of Medina Munawwara. In his dream, he sees Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasul-e-Pak tells him, yes, the yogurt in your land is better than the yogurt of Medina. You better move up to your land. So even the slightest disregard to Medina Munawwara is a serious offense. Imagine now yoga, now to us it won't mean much when we say something like this. We make a comparison of the yogurt that is available here, the yogurt that is available there. But it was taken as a serious thing in the court of Rasul-e-Pak sallam, that you find your yogurt better than the yogurt of Medina, then leave Medina Munawwara. So when we have to leave our lands and live here, we need to learn the respect and the adab this place demands. In Medina Munawwara is not just on any ordinary place. It has got some serious significance, and that significance must be learned. The way we are moving in droves and in groups and visiting these places here, we didn't learn the adab of this place, nor did we take the time to teach our children the adab. And then, for these children, this place has become a place of entertainment, a place to come and have and hold soccer tournaments. Really, they don't know what they are doing. Really, they don't know what they are doing. By all means, you should visit the place, but learn the adab of the place. What is this place all about? years ago, when people visited these places, Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Munawwara, and returned home, then there was a great change in their lives. There was a somersault in the whole life. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, if he was in the Masjid al-Nabawi, even after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left the world, he would ensure that nobody raises his voice. Even just raising your voice, he won't tolerate it. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, when someone was doing some work in near the Masjid, some carpenter, perhaps he was knocking some nail or something. So Aisha wasn't happy at all. Go and do this out, not near the Masjid, not near the resting place of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this place has got a respect of its own. It's got an honor of its own. And this honor, this respect must be learned. What we make is that we feel we have got wealth, and because we got wealth, we can do anything, we can buy anything, and we can go anywhere. That's not the point. Learn the respect of the place, then you go to these places. Okay? That wealth is insignificant in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sight of His Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is very, very insignificant. It is the heart that you come with. What type of heart? إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. It's that heart that is counted, that heart that is appreciated, that heart that is valued. There is a popular incident of a person that used to be residing in Medina Munawwara, and he used to praise Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very cautious about the sunnah, every small sunnah, big sunnah, but very cautious about it. And he would praise Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, praise the Sahaba Kiram, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhuma, to praise them all the time. Once she had seen all this and he was burning, they cannot see any person praising Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Sahaba Kiram. So they feel very hurt. لِيَغِيزَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. The Quran Sharif, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi says, that this is a sign of a kafir. The sign of a kafir is when he sees the Sahaba Kiram flourishing, then they feel pain. يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَّاءَ لِيَغِيزَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. Before this verse, Allah Pak gives the description of the Sahaba Kiram. كَزَرْءٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطْأَهُ فَآزَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَذَ. It's like a seed that is sown into the ground. And kazar in akhraja shat'ahu, then it takes out, it pushes out its stem, and then it becomes thick. لِيَغِيزَ فَاسْتَغْلَذَ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِ. It becomes thick, nice and thick and fat, and then it stands upon its own stem, upon its own trunk. So initially it came out as a small, little, brittle stem. Then it became thick, and then it became so strong that it stands on its own stalk. لِيَغِيزَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. And then Allah Pak says that كَزَرْ إِنْ أَخْرَجَ شَطْأَهُ فَآزَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَذَ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِهِ عُجِبُ الزُّرَّاعِ. It becomes so strong that the farmers, they take delight in seeing it. It's a delight for the farmer, mashallah, what it was and what it is today. But this enrages the kafir when he sees this. They were so small, they were insignificant, koi khatir milane ki cheez nahi thi. It was totally insignificant, the Sahaba Kiram. And slowly, slowly now their numbers began to swell, and then they can stand on their own. They can stand, they don't require any foreign assistance. So when the kafirs see this sight here, then it enrages them. Right? So getting enraged with the Sahaba Kiram is really a symbol of disbelief. And delighting at the Sahaba Kiram, being happy for them, delighting at their progress, delighting at the strides that they made, that is a sign of iman. Okay? So this person used to come to the Rozay Mubarak and he used to praise the Sahaba Kiram, Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhumah. And he used to be standing there for a long time. Now this Shia used to watch all this and he used to be burning all the time. He used to be burning and he felt, now how must I stop this thing here? Like they burnt then, they burn now also. Even now they burn. You see, to stand in the defense of these people, these Sahaba Kiram, really it's a thing of merit. King Faisal, most of us may have heard of his name. We don't want to talk about his weaknesses, but when he died, some Ahlullah, some pious people had seen that Rasul-e-Pak is awaiting King Faisal. He is waiting his arrival. He also had adorned the Sahaba Kiram. He had respected them. And when any disrespect was shown to the Sahaba Kiram, then some people were killed, some people were banished from Medina Munawwara. People like Albani, all these people here, in the time of King Faisal, Shah Faisal, they were chased out of Medina Munawwara. Used to come right till the Rozay Mubarak and loudly recite, Innaka Mayyitun. You should recite this type of verses right there. And the Bukhari people of Medina Munawwara were very agitated, very hurt at this. They complained. As a result, he was thrown out. Then after that, he was re-allowed after he passed away, perhaps in the time of Khalid or in the time of Fahd, he was allowed to come back to Medina. But in King Faisal's time, he was thrown out of Medina. Faisal's time, some Shia had come in, and right at the Rozay Mubarak, he threw some mess right near there. King Faisal ordered that he must be executed. The Irani government was very agitated at this. He says, no, the diyat will give. We'll give you the diyat, the blood money we'll give, but this person must be killed. And he made sure that he was killed. Okay? So when a person shows this type of respect, then he's taking on the wrath of the other powers, big powers. Iran is much more stronger than them, but he's taking on the wrath of these people, then he will have Rasul-e-Pasam coming at the time of his death. See? So to stand in the respect, in defense of Rasul-e-Pasam, in defense of the Sahaba Kiram, is not a small thing, it's a very great thing, it's an honor. So today, this is what's happening. It's a calculated effort to flush out, to purge out the respect of these people from our hearts. And we're doing it with our own hands. Our children we are taking to these places. Kapre ka tikarani. There's no proper... nobody's concerned about the type of dress that they are wearing. How they're conducting themselves in Medina Munawwara, nobody's worried about it. Not the parents are worried, not the children are worried, nobody's concerned about it. What type of behavior you are portraying in Medina Munawwara, you're not even concerned about that. So all these things must be learned. The type of clothing that you're wearing, the conduct that you're going to show out there, what you're going to do there in Medina Munawwara, learn all these things and train yourself. Learn that conduct. Learn the type of behavior. Then now you go to Medina Munawwara, now Rasul-e-Pasam will be pleased. The Sahaba Kiram, if they hear about you, they will be pleased as well. See? And mind you, some of these things are shown to them. They know about it. Mutarrif ibn Abdullah is a great muhaddis and a great buzurg as well. And he used to be living in a village area. Like how you get a snember. So he used to be living in a village area. And he used to cross the village to the town to perform the Jummah namaz. En route used to be passing the Qabristan, and the people of the Qabr used to see sometimes the people of the Qabr, they coming out of the Qabr, all waiting at the headside, and say, Haza Mutarrif Kharaja lil Jumu'ah. This is Mutarrif, is come out to perform Jummah namaz. So they exactly knew who is the person, what is the intention that he is going for. So won't the Sahaba Kiram know, won't the Rasulullah know? You are showing this type of respect, this type of muhabbat, this type of love. Then these people are also informed about it. They wait your arrival. They want you to come here. That's provided we learn the adab. We learn the adab, we learn that respect. So we should be going to these places and we should be taking our families to these places. But then the respect that this place requires, it's not a bazaar, it's not your backyard. It's not any mall or any fair that you are entering into. It is something that is supreme, something out of this world. Really, when I say out of this world, it means I'm literally saying that it is out of this world. So we learn the respect. Before we go there, we learn the respect. Teach the children the respect. Otherwise, don't take them. Really, it's very hard to see any type of disrespect to these places. So we're getting to this person here that used to come and read the praises of Rasulullah SAW and Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And this Shia used to see this all the time. And when he used to see this, he was burning, was enraged. And in that rage of his now, he's thinking and conspiring, what should I do? So he says to this Muslim that I wish to extend an invitation to you. Now this Buzurg thought to himself that accepting a dawat is a sunnah. This person is extending a dawat, then I must accept his dawat. He accepted the dawat. This person comes, takes him to the house, and then immediately on entering the house, he got his black slaves to hold this person, and then he slit off his tongue. So now go and praise Abu Bakr and Umar. All that, go and, you were reading Durood Sharif, now go and do it. Anyway, by Allah Ta'ala, there may be a delay for things to take place. But things are not forgotten, they're not just buried. Things may be coming with a delay, but if they are coming with a delay, it doesn't mean they are forgotten. See? So anyway, this person goes back to the Rose Mubarak, he takes his tongue and he complains within seconds, his tongue is rejoined, reconnected. He's back to normal and carrying on the normal procedure. Anyway, the next year, the time of Hajj, this Shia's child, his son, he extends a dawah to the same Buzurg. Again, the Buzurg thinks, well, to accept a dawah is a sunnah. This person is extending a dawah, and to accept the dawah is a sunnah, let me go, and let me accept and honor this person's dawah. Anyway, he comes back to the same home, and he sees an animal. He sees an animal, perhaps in the shape of a dog or a swine or a monkey, whatever else. And this person here now cries and he says, this is my father. The one that had slit your tongue last year, this is the same person. As he did this, and within hours, this is what had happened to him. See? So now this dawat was a dawat of respect and honor. And this person changed, he corrected himself. But do you see the respect that these people demand? What type of respect you're supposed to be showing here? Like I say, it's not an ordinary place. Makkah and Medina Munawara are not ordinary places. So we do take our children, but before taking them, then we teach them that respect. Otherwise, don't take them straight away. You may delay taking them. Take them after 5 years, 6 years, when they've learnt adab. They know what it is to show respect to these places. They know who's here. And they know what the adab demands and requires of them. After they've learnt all these things, you take them, then it's worth their while. But you haven't educated them, you haven't trained them in adab, and we take them to these places here. Really, sometimes we are losing out. We're not gaining, but we are losing out. See, the Quran Sharif itself says, لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. That the respect of Rasulullah is such a great thing, such a great thing, that don't even raise your voices above the voice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, lest your deeds will all be rendered null and void, and you don't even realize it. But أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. You don't even realize it that all your deeds have been rendered null and void. Now the person who raised his voice in the presence of Rasulullah may have meant, may have not have any wrong intentions. He didn't have any wrong intentions. But this little bit of disregard, little bit of disregard to Rasulullah, to his personality, to his honor, and it can render all your deeds to be null and void. You understand how serious an offense this is, that it can render all your deeds to be null and void. أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. You won't even realize it that your deeds had all become null and void. And the question comes about that how does your deed become null and void? So Imam Thami Sahib Rahmatullah explains that they become null and void in this way, that when you show disrespect to these type of personalities, these great luminaries, what happens? Allah Pak blesses everybody with a motivation, enthusiasm, yearning to do good. Right? Allah Pak loves His servant, so He gives you a grace that you are motivated to do good. You see, Ramzan, everybody wants to fast, right? Everybody wants to perform Taraweeh, be in the masjid, make some khatam. So all these things are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are blessings. It's a motivation, it's a drive, it's a yearning to do it. You will feel awkward if you're not fasting. You will feel out of place if you're not in the Taraweeh, in the masjid. You will feel not in place if you don't come for the Isha namaz. On normal days, in Ramadan, even more you'll feel out of place. If you're at home, the Taraweeh is going on, you'll feel out of place. So what is this? This is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala grants you that grace and you want to come to the masjid, do the rozas, do the taraweeh, do the namaz, etc. But when you show disregard, then this yearning, this enthusiasm and this longing breaks in you. It collapses, crashes in you. Now there's no yearning to do it. You don't feel that, you don't feel enchanted, you feel disenchanted. You don't feel illusioned, you feel disillusioned. There's no illumination, there's no nothing that is taking you in that direction. You don't feel driven in that direction. You don't feel enthusiasm, no yearning in you. So you are broken down. When you are broken down, now to come to the masjid becomes very difficult. Because you had a yearning before, you had an enthusiasm before, now there's no enthusiasm. You had longing before, now there's no longing in your heart. So when this thing breaks down, now you don't feel like doing it. When you don't feel like doing it, then you leave out one thing, and then you leave out the second thing, and then you leave out the third thing, and then before you know it, and everything is gone out of your system. Everything is gone. Now for you to do an act of disbelief, to come to the border of disbelief becomes simple. You don't find that hesitation in you. You don't find that resistance in you any longer. Before you found a resistance, now there isn't any resistance. What's there? I don't care. I don't bother. So what? If I did this, then what? Nauzubillah. You have that type of attitude, you have that type of approach. So that resistance in you is broken down. When that resistance breaks down, then all the hell in you breaks loose. And then for you to commit kufr, disbelief, becomes so simple, becomes so easy. So that's why I say that learning respect for these places is very, very important. Very, very. Like I would say, it's like faraz. It's not like an optional thing, it's like faraz. Because not learning that adab and can lead you to kufr. Antahbata a'malukum wa antum la tash'urun. The Quran is saying it, that your deeds will be rendered void, useless. You don't even realize that your deeds have all gone wasted. So you learned all this and then you went. Now that small visit that you made to Medina or to Makkah Mukarramah, maybe this is 2 days or 3 days, maybe 10 days, short visit. But every moment of it you are appreciating. You love every moment. See? Every moment of that place you love. You will begin to love even the cat of the place. You will love everything of the place, the sand of the place, the cat of the place, everything of that place will become dear to you. Everything that this is in the certain vicinity of Rasulullah ﷺ, you will begin to envy it, that this thing here, it's so fortunate that it's called the company of Rasulullah ﷺ, be it a cat, be it anything else, any other creature, but you will feel like this. That sand, that plant, that tree, whatever it is, but the fact that it's living within the vicinity of Nabi ﷺ, you will count it to be something that is very fortunate. So this is something that we need to teach our children, train them. Yeah. The place where we went wrong is we feel and we felt that we've got the money and money can buy anything and can do anything and everything. Yeah. No, it's not that. It's not. It's something else. Yeah. When this Saharanpur Madrasa, a group of businessmen from Burma had come to visit the Saharanpur Madrasa. And Saharanpur, this Burma was very, very wealthy. It was bursting with wealth, bursting, really, bursting at the seams. So wealthy they were. South African wealth, but there's no comparison to what wealth the Burmese Muslims had. So these people came to visit the Madrasa and they wanted to see the books of the madrasa and what was the expenditure, etc. So when they saw the expenditure, they said, hey, so what is this? Insignificant. Any one of us, man, will do it for 50 years, we'll do it. One shot will give you in advance all that money. So Maulana Saharanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah was still alive at that time. When he saw this, so he felt it important to show them the importance of adab. So he says, you see, آدمی سے پیسے بنتا ہے پیسے سے آدمی نہیں بنتا آدمی سے پیسے بنتا ہے پیسے سے آدمی نہیں بنتا مین کین جنریٹ ویلتھ رائٹ مین کین میک ویلتھ بٹ ویلتھ کان میک اے مین آل دا ویلتھ ان دا ورلڈ بٹ میک اے ڈیسنٹ پرسن کان اٹس امپاسبل آئی ریمبر اور پرنسپل Qayyat Ayyab Sahib Rahmatullahi Muhtamim Muhtar Ulum Dioban in the 70s, 75 or beginning 76, he had gone up to America. That was the first trip that he had made to America. And in his return trip, there was a jalsa and all were seated there. So he addressed us and he spoke about America and whatever it caught, and the technology and how advanced they were. At that time, to hear about something like, you know, remote and all that was remote. To hear about a remote was a remote thing. And he began to make us excited also. You just press a button and the gate opens up and the car opens up and whatever happens. We were getting excited as well. Because we didn't hear of these things at that time, 76 now. So anyway, he says, in my farewell address to the Americans, I explained to them that America is so advanced in technology that at the press of a button you can do anything. You can be sitting in London and you can switch on your stove in America. So you're so advanced, you know, so advanced you can do things. But what America doesn't have is a machine to produce men. What they don't have? They don't have a machine to produce men. They are producing people, but there's no difference between the people they produce and animals. Their behavior, their ways, their mannerisms. Look at that. Look at animal behavior. There's no difference. There's no difference between them. It's just that they've got the costume of a man, but it is the animal that is within them that is showing out. Look at their behavior, look at their ways, look at their values, and then look at an animal. Sometimes that animal will put you away as well. So he says that what America cannot produce and what failed to produce was a machine that can produce men. And alhamdulillah, we in India, we produce men. Alhamdulillah. Not praising himself, not proud of himself, but he's showing that if you want to produce men, you need to send your people to us. Whether it is Tabligh Jamaat, whether it's the Khanqa or whatever else. But you've sent your people here and you'll get men coming out. You see, in every big center, whether it's a mall, whether it's a shopping center, right? Right. So it's done up and it's got all the frills and the thrills, everything, most modern and up-to-date, everything it's got, right? And in spite of all the advancement and the progress, but yet they've got security, very tight security. Very, very tight security. From the top to the bottom, there's hundreds of security. In big, big malls, you'll find so many security. So the security is to guard against who? Against lions, leopards, snakes, scorpions, then what? The security is to guard against men. So men have become leopards, lions, scorpions, snakes, right? In order to secure yourself against these leopards that have come in the costume of men, you have to employ people to secure yourself, to secure your shops, your businesses against these things here. So you see, the deterioration, the degeneration, when you don't know what man stands for, then this is how you degenerate, you go right down. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. Created man in the best of molds. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. And then you have abased him to the lowest of the low. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. When he lost his value, he misunderstood his position. He didn't understand what his position, what he is. Then what happened? Then he got abased. From that high pedestal, he went down. He was thrown down. أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. To the lowest of the low. So for men, you need this type of security. It's not for the animals, the leopards, snakes and lions that you needed this security, but for men you needed this type of security. So these marakis, these type of centers, they are there to create men out of you, provided that man wants to become a man. It's not that man will just become a man automatically. No, no. That is also wrong. If you know, you'll just go to India, Pakistan, and you'll become a man. Or you don't become a man straight. Provided you also want to become a man, then that place will make you a man. You've got the determination. You have got that initiative within you that I want to become a man. One person came to Marcus from Fiji Islands. So he spent his time and all that. And then he returned. So when he returned, now his wife is complaining. What happened? Is he mentally sick? Is he deranged? Is he retarded? What happened to him? What happened to him now? So she went and complained to the Markaz. What's wrong with my hubby now? What's wrong with him? What happened to him now? So they asked, but why are you complaining? He says, no, before when he used to come, it used to be like a monster coming in the house. He will bash the door, he'll punch me. Will slap me and my skull will be broken, I'll need to be hospitalized. And every second word used to be a swear word, used to be a vulgar word. Now everything in him is dead. Everything in him is dead now. He walks so compassionately, you have to be attentive to listen to his footsteps. When he speaks also, you have to, dear, what are you saying now? And when he speaks also with so much of compassion, so much of love and care, now, so I thought he lost it now, he's mad. What happened to him? So then they had to explain that this is what man stands for. She had misunderstood a man. She understood a lion for a man. She had understood a scorpion for a man. She had understood a snake for a man. Right? That's what she understood. But now the small little training when they pulled out the man out of the person, they made him a real man, she was confused. Is this a man? She herself had lost it. She was gone so far away from manhood that she didn't know what was a man from an animal. Now they had to explain to her, okay, this is man, this is what a man is all about. So this is why they ask you to go to these places, to go to these khanqahs, buzurganuddin, etc. Go with that initiative, go with that interest, go with that intention. And you surrender yourself to them, and then you see how they will make the man out of you. What you are, and what they make you to. How you are, what you wear, and how they make you, how they convert you, how they transform you into a man. How they shape you, they reshape you to a man, to have the true values. What the world lacks today is not wealth. It's not wealth. I see it, the little travel that you travel, and you see different places, though you see poverty and all that, but when you look very deeply, you look at it properly in perspective, then you have to come to the conclusion that the world doesn't require wealth. And what does the world require? Yes, world require men. World requires men. That's what it's hungry for, it's thirsty for, it's dying for. That I want some quality men. I want to see that. The world is desperate to see that. I want to see men. What I'm seeing now presently and what I'm going through is animals. I'm not going through men. So I want to see that real man I want to see. Where is that man? Okay. That it is those qualities that make the man. It is that quality that makes the man. When you see that quality, then you say, no, this is a man. Alhamdulillah. You've come across a man. Otherwise, you are seeing an animal. Now, when you see the quality in that person, now you're seeing a man. Okay. Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu zamana, and he had sent a contingent of the Sahaba Ikram to a certain Jewish district. They had left the command of Hazrat Umar, perhaps somewhere in Palestine, somewhere near there. So he had sent this whole contingent there. They were living in a whole Jewish locality. So they lived there for a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever the period, whatever the duration may have been, they lived there. And then Amir al-Mu'minin Umar radiallahu anhu had summoned this whole group again after 3 or 5 years, whatever it was. He summoned them, he asked them to come back to Medina Munawwara. So after that period, after that 4 or 5 years, whatever it was, they came back. As they were leaving, so this whole Jewish community was in tears. They were in tears. Please don't leave us. Please don't leave us. If you want wealth, we'll give it to you. You want premises to do business, we'll give it to you. You want stock, we'll give it to you. And forget everything else. If you want woman, we'll give you woman to get married to. But please don't leave us. Please, for Allah Ta'ala's sake, don't leave us. They went on to say, you see, our whole town was flooded with theft, with rape, with robbery, with injustice, with cruelty, with the wealthy eating up and usurping the poor. The whole place was flooded with that. When you walked in, the whole place was changed. There was justice, there was happiness, there was calmness, there was tranquility. We could actually feel the tranquility of your presence. Now we fear that you will leave, you will take all that good away. You will leave, and you will leave with all that good that you have brought, we'll take it away. And we'll go back to square one. So whatever you want, you name the price and we'll give it to you. Here they had to listen to the Amir al-Mu'min. It was the command of the Amir al-Mu'min, they had to leave, they had to return. Now, in perspective, look at our position here in this country. If we tell the government that we all want to leave from here, all want to leave from here, the government will say, aaj ko jana hai ke kal ko jana hai. You're going to go to tomorrow, don't go tomorrow, we'll give you a free ride today, we'll take you to New York. Now that's how we reduced ourselves. We didn't portray ourselves correctly. The government or the officials, we tell them, I'm going to leave this place. So no, don't leave tomorrow, leave today. I will give you a free ticket also, you go from there. See? So this is where we stand today. We are talking about others, but this is where we stand today. So we haven't portrayed that man that Islam talks about, that Deen talks about, that Rasulullah had prepared, that the Sahaba-i-Kiram had worked towards, that they had endeavored. We lost that man. We bring that man, even the kafir will have a love for us. Even the disbeliever will have a love for us. Al-Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. He was traveling in a train, and besides him was a Hindu. So this Buzurgana Deen, whoever is the path, whoever is your companion is, they will make that person comfortable. To the extent they will even share the meals with him. Even share the meals, whatever it is, he's a companion in the journey, sahibu bil jamb, and we need to show the hospitality. If he doesn't eat, then that's his business, but our side, we have to show the hospitality. He showed him hospitality, respect. In a few hours, this person, this Hindu, had to go to toilet. Normally, we look at a Hindu or a Jew with despise. Alright, their ways and all that we despise, but the person we don't despise. He is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's a different thing. His ways, his mannerisms, his culture and his religion we despise, but himself we don't despise. So this person made his way to the toilet, and he had just gone to the toilet and he had returned straight. You know, like as though it was a ball flung onto the wall and he came back so quickly. Well, I understood what happened. He made out, you know, you don't need a rocket scientist to give a whole tafsir to what has happened here. Well, I made out this person may have found the toilet in a very pitiable state, so he couldn't go and relieve himself. Now, Mawlana is a Sheikh al-Hadith in Darul Deoband. He taught Hadith kitabs and other kitabs right in Masjid al-Nabawi for approximately 20 years. Then he came to Deoband and he taught there also for 20 years. Right? So he's a big Sheikh al-Hadith, very great person, very great Buzurg. He's sitting in Medina Munawara. Just to explain to you who Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib Rahmatullah is. He is sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi. And he's got students from all over the world. He's got students from all over the world. And he's teaching them hadith, etc. And the discussion is about the Anbiya being alive in the grave. Rasulullah being alive. That's our belief. All the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaat, we all believe that all the Anbiya, including Rasulullah, are alive in the graves. So that was the discussion at the time. And, you know, students are free. Students from all over the world, they bombard you, storm you with all type of questions. Mawlana is answering them, and they're storming the questions, and Mawlana is answering them, and they're storming the questions again. And then this thing carried on for some time. Then, for a moment, Mawlana just looked at one end. When he looked at the one end, then the students, they saw with their eyes this, the life, in life they have seen that the whole masjid is clear, there is no Roza Mubarak, is clear there, and the Rasulullah is standing in person. He is seated there or he is standing in person. And thereafter, everything resumed back to normal. Now Mawlana asked them, now do you have any doubt about Rasulullah being alive? When they saw it with their own eyes, now he asked, now do you have any doubts, any reservation about Rasulullah being alive? So no, we don't have any doubts. We've seen it with our own eyes. So anyway, the Mawlana is of that caliber. He's not an ordinary person. When he came to Medina Munawara and he extended his salams to Rasulullah, so a voice was heard, Wa alaykum as-salam ya waladi. And may be salams on you also, my dear son. So he was of that caliber. Then he taught 20 years here, then he taught 20 years in Darul Uloom Deoband. So these people, the love for Rasulullah was something beyond our imagination. But just that we don't hear about them, or they're not introduced to us, so we don't know what they are. Because people don't introduce them, so we don't know who they are and what they are. What have they done and what their achievements were. Now he's traveling here, and this Hindu is with him, he's his companion in the journey. And when he came back from the toilet, Mawlana made out from the face that something is not right, that the toilet is not in the right state. So Mawlana went himself, he pulled out his kurta, hung it there on the rack, and then put his trousers on top, closed the door, and with his own hands, whatever pieces of paper were there, he went and cleaned the whole place with his own hands, all the mess and all that. You know, to clean your mess, you find it difficult, right? But still, you can't just clean your own mess. But the next person's mess, you find it very difficult. Your own mess, you clean it up still, right? But the next person's mess, to go and clean up, you find it extremely difficult. So Murad, with his own hands, he took up the papers that were lying down and cleaned the whole area, spick and span, clean, clean, clean. Dried it up nice, neat. Now, with a smile, broad smile on his face, he says to that Hindu, "Janab, Jao, now you may go. Sir, now you may go to the toilet. It's not as clean. I've seen the place." He didn't say that I cleaned the place and didn't impress on him, showing his generosity or his kindness. No, said, no, the place is clean. I've seen it just now. Go and relieve yourself. Murana's generosity was such that this type of Hindus would tell him, "Murana, please leave us. Please, Murana, leave us. Please leave us now. Don't sit near us. Because you're such an attraction, we're afraid that within moments you'll become Muslim just now. Your character, your ways, your values are so great, so sublime, that we are afraid that we'll just be attached to Islam, we'll want to become Muslim just now." Understand? So these were these people that we are talking about. This was the love that they had. Right? These people were such, Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, we're talking of the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Okay? Even the seeds of the dates of Medina Munawara, he wouldn't throw them. That also he would crush, and they would take as powder. They will eat that up as well. This is not an ordinary date. It is from Medina Munawara. Now it's coming in such numbers, it's coming, right? It's coming so freely, so we can't show that type of respect. Remember, in our childhood, we used to see that you go as a guest to go meet some cousin or some relative that has come from Hajj or whatever, and they'll give you one date only. Or they will send one, two dates as a tabarruk. One date and a little small bottle, you know, that small medicine bottle, that amount of zamzam they will send, and one, two dates. So that used to be then. Now there's so much. Everywhere it's advertised and everywhere else. So these people used to show so much of respect. So much of respect. They would crush that thing, eat that thing. Don't let it go to waste, you understand? So this was the love for Rasulullah, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love for Sahaba-i-Kiram. Allah ta'ala grant us some portion of that love that they had in their hearts for Rasulullah. But the Shaykh al-Hind, he is also one of the luminaries of Darul-Ulum Dioban, first student of Dioban. So someone asked him, if Allah Pak had offered you that, ask what you want, we'll give it to you, what will you ask for? If Allah Ta'ala had offered you, ask what you want, we will give it to you. So he says, what I will ask for? I will ask for this much. O Allah Ta'ala, the love that you had granted the Sahaba-i-Kiram for Rasulullah Allah Ta'ala, the love that you had blessed the Sahaba-i-Kiram, the love of Rasulullah that you blessed the Sahaba-i-Kiram, I want some portion of that. I can't say that I'll manage so much of love, but some portion of that love that the Sahaba-i-Kiram had, I want some portion of that. You see? So these people's love for Rasulullah was proverbial. But just that, perhaps, these luminaries have not been introduced to us, so we don't appreciate them, we don't know who they are. What I'm trying to get at is that we go to these places, and I don't say don't take our children, etc., to these places, or women, etc., but definitely it is incumbent, it is compulsory that we teach them what is respect, what is adab, and then we go up there. Otherwise, we'll go there to look at the latest fashions, and to show off the latest fashion, the shops with the latest fashions, we'll go with that intention. Let's go and buy this fashionable clothing, this type of fashion. We'll go and buy that. Where you got it from? Madina Munawwara. Auzubillah. Are you disgracing Madina Munawwara or are you honoring Madina Munawwara? What are we doing? So we need to teach them. See, we need to teach them. We don't give our children that quality time. Now that you have broken away from your business, etc., you've gone there, then learn all these things first. There are some kitabs that give you the seerat and the lifestyle of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, the lifestyle of Rasulullah, And the important areas, the important sites, monumentary sites. So go and explain your children. This is the Sahaba, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, what was he? Who was he? And how he would fall, and how he preserved the hadith. And how he'd fallen conscious. He had no other concern in life but learning the Mubarak teaching of Rasulullah SAW. And there is the Sufa, this is where he used to reside. Now then they begin to appreciate Abu Huraira, oh, he was residing here. And this was the sacrifices, this was the achievements he had made for deen. And he was the greatest transmitter of hadith. Oh, this was Abu Huraira. Now they're seeing as though they are seeing Abu Huraira in the masjid. Because you've introduced them. Like I'm introducing some of the ulama of Darul Uloom Deoband that we didn't hear of, we didn't know of. Now that I'm introducing, now you have an understanding who they were. See? Similarly, now it's our duty, like our parents have taught us adab. Now we owe it to our children to pass that adab to them, respect to them, love to them. So they appreciate this luminaries, they appreciate these personalities. See? So this love and adab, they are two great things in our deen. Love and adab. The amal, the deeds, etc., all are important. But equally important is love and respect. Like amal and deed is important, then equally important is love and respect. We learn these things. You know, I was just thinking that you've got a maid in the house, right? And you've got a wife in the house. Do you treat both equally? Do you treat both equally? But she's also doing more or less what the wife is doing. You treat both equally. You don't treat both equally. Here you give her a salary and send her off. And the wife, you will live for her and you will die for her, right? Why? Because she's giving you love. She's giving you respect. The maid is just there for the money, that's all. She got the money for the month and she's gone. She doesn't give you that respect and that love like the wife will give you. She's giving you her time, her loyalty, her respect, her love she's giving you. So you live for her and you die for her. Right? So when you learn love, then you learn how to live for Rasulullah SAW and how to die for him. See, that is when you learn to respect and when you learn to love. Otherwise, you don't have that relationship like you're supposed to have with the Rasulullah SAW. So that is why this type of kitabs are read, that we learn a little bit of adab, a little bit of respect, a little bit of muhabbat, try to understand something, put into our minds, put into our hearts. Are we there in Medina Munawara for 10 days, 12 days, then you went to Quba, then you learnt up, you read up all those hadiths, what Rasulullah used to do here, what is the importance, when he came from Makkah Mukarrama, where did he reside, how long did he reside here in Quba, in Banu Salima, how long did he reside? Was there Jummah namaz here or not? So now you learn all these things. As though you're seeing Rasulullah coming with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and where they're residing, and all the Ansar, where they're coming to receive Rasulullah. So this picture has become very vivid, very graphic before your eyes. But now you don't even know these things. It's all forgotten. Is this fair towards Rasulullah? Is this fair? Not fair. If you only heard that your great-grandfather came from India, right? From wherever he came. And you know that when he came, then this was that house. And some of his items, his jacket that he came with, and the lungi that he came with, and the kurta is still there. Hey, take me down to go and see that. Don't you feel the restlessness? Don't you feel the restlessness? You feel the restlessness. I want to see now, hey, what type of clothing he was wearing, what was the room, where the room he resided in. Now, shouldn't we show that love to Rasulullah SAW, the Sahaba Ikram, how they were, what they were doing, where did they come to, where were they received, what were the words that we read? Tala al-Badru alayna min thaniyatil wada'i. Now, this type of things, now you make it alive. You make that whole history alive. History of Rasulullah SAW and the Sahaba Ikram alive as though they are before you. Now, you begin to have a love for them because they are introduced before you. They have been spoken about in your presence. You have a love for them. You have a muhabbat for them. So this is what we need to do. We are going and we go. But then we learn all these things. Keep on learning it, understanding it, and ensure that the children also are holding these things in respect and in that level of esteem that is desired. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Naseeb Kare.